Well, how many Jesus callers are out here today? Jesus callers. We're going to talk about that today. We talked about it before. I'm going to bring out some more to this, but the early church was labeled Jesus callers. They called them Jesus callers. As a matter of fact, Saul of Tarsus, before he became the Apostle Paul, was out. He had orders to get them, to get those Jesus callers. And we're going to talk about what that really means, Jesus calling. It's not quite the same as prayer in the sense that prayer can be silent. Can you agree with that? And prayer can be a petition, you know, to come and make your requests known to God. But calling on the name of the Lord is something that has been lost, especially a lot in our Western culture. So we're going to talk about it today, and this is something that you can hear, and you can say in your heart, well, I disagree. And you can go your way, and you can ignore everything I said today, but how many know that you cannot compromise the Word of God? Amen. You can disregard what I say, but you cannot disregard the Word of God. And so there are times when God challenges us to step out of ourself to do something that may not even be true to our natural character, that might be a bit, maybe at least in our minds, an embarrassing thing to do. Has God ever challenged you to do something that your flesh said that would be embarrassing for me to do? Yes. All the time. There's a battle going on. Your flesh is saying no. And you know what that is? That's rebellion. I'm going to say it. It's rebellion to disregard the Word of God. It's rebellion. You can get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me to say. What we're called to do is beyond our natural ability in every way. We are called into the realm of faith. To step out in faith, to do the impossible. The Christian life is impossible apart from the power of God. Yes. There are people who can fake it pretty good apart from the power of God. There are people who can mimic the power of God. There are people who are good at hype and getting a crowd worked up, but it's not the power of God. It's an emotional rush that was manipulated in the soulish realm of that person. Are you with me? But when your heart gets, I mean, the touch of God on it, your soul will also leap. Your soul will also get into it. Are you with me? You'll get excited. You'll have good feelings, but we are not to follow good feelings, but good feelings will follow obedience. And so God challenges us to step outside of our comfort zone because that's where He is. As we sang the song, in the realm of the unknown. He takes us into uncharted territory and into waters that are deep sometimes, that unless we've got our eyes on Jesus, we're going to sink like Peter. It's one thing to step out of the boat. It's another thing to walk on the water. Some of us will step out of the boat, but then we'll get right back into the boat because of fear. But God has not given His church a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the greater one is in us, amen, than the one that's in the world. So what is the meaning of calling on the name of the Lord? Hebrews 5:7 talks about Jesus, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications, listen, with loud cries, this is Jesus, and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and was heard because of His godly fear. But if Jesus did it, don't you think we need to do the same thing? There's a thing called walking in the Spirit. And the deep of you cries out to the deep of God. Amen? We've been talking about the soul and the spirit. And the deepest part of a man is the spirit. And when the Spirit of God comes into the spirit of man, he becomes born again. And that spirit begins to cry out from our hearts, Abba, Father. Are you with me? And so there is a crying out or a calling out from the heart to the heart of God. Spirit to spirit. Those who worship God must worship Him in spirit. Large S, divine spirit, right? God is a divine spirit. Large S. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Little s, spirit of man. Mingled with the Spirit of God. The life that is in your spirit is the life that you must live out of. We're not to live out of the soul in the sense that the soul is in control. The soul is to be denied. If any man come after me, let him deny his soul. Suke. And follow me, Jesus said. But often what we want to do is coddle and appease and please our soul, because our soul is often in resistance to what the Spirit of God wants to do. And unless we get that in the right priority, right order, you're going to be living a lie. As a matter of fact, you can live a life that by all appearances seems to be very spiritual, but Jesus knows the reality of where you really are, who you really are. You may be able to fake out people, but you're not going to fake out God. And so there's two Old Testament prophets here. Jeremiah, we believe, wrote Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 55. Listen to what he says. I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing. That word means breathing. In the King James, it says breathing, I think. But sighing, it means spiritual breathing. It's from your innermost being. He says, I cried out to you from my spirit, from my innermost being. From my cry for help, and you drew near on the day I called to you. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon His name. Declare His deeds among the peoples. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Verse 6. What does it say? Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Now, we don't cry out and shout just for shouting's sake. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you can get into churches where it's just noisy. Are you with me? There's a lot of shouting and crying out, but it's not deep unto deep. It's just because we shout here. Are you with me? There comes a time when you and I need to come to the conclusion that I'm going to quit living according to the way I think I should live. And start living according to the will of God for my life. Because the will of God is the only thing that's going to complete you. The only thing that's going to satisfy you. And the only thing that's going to bring joy into your life. Are you with me? There comes a time when we need to say, I need to scrap my opinions. I need to scrap my way of doing it. And I need to pick up my cross and I need to say, Jesus, from now on, I'm not going to just tell you I'm going to follow you. I'm going to start following you. And the only way you're going to be able to follow Jesus is to deal with your soul life and say, no longer am I going to be led by my emotions, by my will, or by my intellect. Well, God, why did you do that? Your soul rebels. Why did you do it that way? Your soul says. Does God have to explain himself to us? He's God. God can do what he wants, when he wants, to whoever he wants, whenever he wants, because he's God. I'm just thankful that I'm on the right train with him. Amen. I'm along for the ride. Jesus, I'm with you. I don't have to know all the answers. All I know is that you're a good God. I want to follow you. Even if it doesn't make sense in my intellect. Because in your natural intellect, you are not able to know God. You're not able to understand the things of God. Are you with me? It's only by the Spirit that we can discern and know the will of God. Why? Because the Spirit, S, right, searches the deep things. The deep things of God. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the heart of the Father to us, that we may know what is true. You know that word in verse 6, it says, cry out and shout. The word cry out means to be cheerful. Are you hearing this today? Say amen. Amen. To sound clear, to bellow. Bellow! Don't you hate noisy people? If it's the right kind of noise, I like it. If it's from the heart, it's from the Spirit. It also means to lift up, rejoice, to make, to shine, to shout. And the word shout means to emit a stridulous sound. That is, to shout aloud for joy. Everybody say, shout aloud. For joy. It says, cry out, be joyful, greatly rejoice, or to triumph, to triumph. We're talking about being what we're called to be, which the early church understood and walked in. They were Jesus callers, folks. They would call out the name of Jesus. I can remember the blind man, remember? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He was calling out. When you call a friend, amen? It's like, John, would you come? John, would you come? John, John. He's half a block away. John, would you come? You cry out. You call out. It's something that is done audibly, folks. Calling on the name of the Lord is always audible. Everybody say audible.
Audible.
It's something that we do consciously, we choose to do. We call out audibly to God. When God created the heavens and the earth and everything that there is, he spoke the word. He decreed it. God gave us words, and we need to understand that it's important for believers. It doesn't matter what your natural inclination is or what your soul might be like. It's important that we understand that we need to live according to the higher rule of the Spirit. And if God says, I want you to cry out, I want you to shout, or I want you to decree or declare something, it's time for us to say, well, what are people going to think if I just, in Walmart, shout the name of Jesus? Now, to make sure God's telling you to do that. But we should never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Come on. So how does God become our salvation, our strength, and our song? How can we draw this water of life? By what? Calling on the name of the Lord. By praising him, singing to him, crying out and shouting to him. You see, some people, folk, they're continually bound, and they're going to continue to be bound until they get to the point where they're sick and tired of being bound. I can remember being oppressed myself one time, where it was just like I was so heavy and so beat down, and it's like the devil is just robbing my joy. And walking around, I didn't even want to lift up my head. And all of a sudden, it just something came on me. I just said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. And somebody had just like said something to me that just like really, it was just a slam. And so I walked out and I got into my car I just, Jesus! And that thing immediately was gone. It was broken. I'm telling you, folks, it works. It's biblical. It's not a matter of opinion. Well, my opinion, forget your opinion. What does God say? My opinion gets me in trouble. How about you? My opinion keeps me bound by the devil. Sometimes you just got to do the opposite of what you're feeling like. In fact, often. Too often we are controlled by our emotions. We let our emotions decide what we're going to do. If I feel like it, I'll be good today. If I feel like it, I'll go to church. If I feel like it, I'll pray. If I feel like it, I'll read my Bible. You know. The devil will make sure you don't feel like it. Say amen if I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
Now, I want to give you a little foundation for this because I've shared this before, but I think it's important, especially for those if you haven't heard this. In Genesis 4:25, this is where men first began to call upon the Lord. This is the third generation of the human race, and it was with Enosh, the son of Seth and the son of Adam. In verse 25 of Genesis chapter 4, and Adam knew his wife again, Eve, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was, he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. That's the first mention of when people begin to call on the name of the Lord. It also means that they begin to proclaim God. They begin to talk and converse about God. They begin to testify about God. And so it continues throughout scriptures. We see Abraham in Genesis 12:8, Isaac, Genesis 26:25, Moses, Deuteronomy, you know, Job, Jabez, Samson, Samuel, David, Jonah, Elijah, Jeremiah. Over and over throughout scripture, there are those who called audibly upon the name of the Lord. How many know that when Elijah was out on the mount with the prophets of Baal, and there was a showdown in the spirit, these were the Satanists of that day, and these guys are full of demonic power. How many know that Elijah, I highly doubt that when he called on the name of Jehovah, that he was whispering. Come on. Let the God who answers by fire be the true God. And the fire from heaven fell. Consumed. Remember the offering. The water licked up the water. The everything was consumed by the fire of God. And the prophets of Baal were destroyed shortly thereafter. There was a showdown who the true God was. And so there has to be a calling out to the Lord in our lives. It's not enough to pray silently. There's times when you pray in silence. But God has given us this. It's called a voice. It's like the launching pad right here. And we can speak and we can decree things because in the New Testament covenant, we are actually kings and priests unto God. And so a king has authority to decree, amen, to command things. Now some people say, well, we don't do that in our church. It doesn't matter. That's your opinion. The Word of God says... See, we're gonna live according to this book, right? Amen. Right here. Not, it's not my opinion, it's not my feeling about it. I'm gonna know that God's not nervous. He's not intimidated. If you and I are intimidated, it's not of God. You hear that? Sometimes people get afraid of spiritual things, and it's because the love of God has not yet been shed abroad in their hearts, and therefore they're afraid of a lot of things, or things they don't understand. You know what, folks? When we're full of the Holy Spirit, even a demon can manifest, and you're just like, you don't bother me now. Are you with me? It's not this thing where we're afraid or we're terrified of these things. Why? Because the greater one is in us than he that's in the world. And God's people have not been given that spirit of fear, but we have a spirit of power, dunamis, dynamic, miracle power, and of love and of a sound mind. So we don't have to be afraid of our adversary at all. Now remember the prophet Joel, he prophesied in the last days that others would call upon the name of the Lord. In Joel 2:28, it says, "It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass," verse 32, "that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That word means delivered or rescued. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered or rescued. "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls." See, not many people have paid attention, folks, to the connection between calling audibly on the name of the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many here speak in tongues? How many here first begin to speak in tongues when you are audibly calling on the name of the Lord? Almost the same amount of hands. Ah, okay. Are we tracking so far? I mean, is this making sense? Well, it should, because it's God's word, right? It's not my word. It's not my opinion. I've decided that I want to go along with God. He knows better. He's smarter than I am. We are living in the time of this fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Right now, God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. And there is a connection right here in this passage between whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. Are you with me? There's going to be healing. There's going to be salvation. There's going to be deliverance. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to cry out to the Heavenly Father, because God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And the Spirit of His Son, if Christ is in us, folks, there will be a crying out. If there's no crying out, then you need to question whether you're in the faith or not. Whether Christ is really in you or not. If Christ is in you, there will be this in you that your spirit man is going to cry out, is going to thirst for the living God. Are you with me? Stephen called on the name of the Lord in the hour of his stoning, Acts 7:59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God. Do you think Stephen was whispering? When they're running at him with stones, we read it this morning, they're gnashing their teeth, and they were coming at him, stopping up their ears because he was exposing by the word of God the fact that they had rejected Jesus Christ, amen, and they had crucified him, and they ran at Stephen, and as he was calling on God, and the Bible says that he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He had a vision, didn't he? But he was calling on the name of the Lord. Folks, if you have a tendency like I do to be shy, somebody say, "You shy?" Yes. The way that you combat that is to do the opposite of it. In fact, you overcome evil with good. And if your soul is rebelling and your soul is resisting, your soul is saying, "I don't want to do that," you need to tell your soul to get into order and obey, amen, the will of God. Amen. Because if you don't, you're going to end up staying in the place where you've been for so long, bound up, hung up, until you open up your mouth and you begin to cry out to God and say, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Now, why do we call on the name of the Lord? There's several reasons. Number one, to be rescued from sin. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, we need to open up ourselves. We need to open our hearts to call on the name of the Lord. Open up. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. And how do you knock? How do you open? You open by opening up your mouth and give God praise. You open up your mouth and call out the name of Jesus. You open your life. How many know what I'm talking about? As you're giving God praise and you're giving Him glory, God begins to fill your vessel. There's an exchange that takes place. The praise goes up, the glory comes down. Hallelujah. Remember, Isaiah said that the way to draw living water is to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, it's true that some have never done this. Even Christians have never done this. Now, I'm going to challenge you today. If you've never done this, you need to start. You need to start doing it. Not because I said so, but because God said so. Try it. You'll like it. It will free you from yourself. I'm going to say it again. It will free you from you. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. I'm talking about the soul, the self. It will deliver you from self-consciousness and shift you into Christ consciousness. You'll be released from yourself and filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. Number two, calling on the Lord will rescue you from distress. Psalms 18:6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry came before Him, even to His ears. Calling on the Lord will rescue you from trouble. Psalms 50 and verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Amen. Fourthly, calling on the Lord will rescue you from sorrow. Amen. Psalms 116 verse 3 and 4, the pains of death encompassed me and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me of hell. I found trouble and sorrow. Then verse 4, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. The easiest way to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to call. You get lit up. Psalms 145 and verse 18 says, the Lord is near all who call upon Him. In other words, we are to walk out our lives, live our lives, doing what? Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, can I do this? Should I do this? Lord, what would you have me to do? Calling out the name of Jesus. Amen? And if you find yourself getting encased in an oppressive spirit or depression even, you can shout your way out of depression. I guarantee it. You can break that thing because it has no right to you. If you've confessed your sins, He's faithful to forgive you and cancel the legal right the enemy had to oppress or depress you. If you're living in obedience to God, you can cry out to God and God will set you free from it. You don't have to fill yourself full of dope. See, a lot of times we just want to take the shortcut or the easy way. We don't want to have to deal anything. We don't want to have to suffer. We don't have to feel any pain. We don't have to deal with anything. We want everything to be instant. Just give me that pill. I'll feel better. Come on. Maybe it's a discipline that God wants to work in you. Maybe it's God saying, I want you to seek me because I'm going to be your deliverer. You won't need dope anymore. You won't need this stuff anymore. You don't need to get drunk anymore. Because I'm the one that will satisfy you. I will bring you such pleasure beyond what you can fathom. If you will call upon me. If you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Now the way, this is the way. Are you hearing me? The way that we call upon the Lord. Number one, this is very important. Because if we don't understand these things and we don't get things in order in our lives, you can shout till the cows come home and sometimes it's not going to make any difference. Number one, you need to call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22, when Paul spoke to his son in the Lord Timothy, he said, "Flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those," that means together with God's people, "with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Interesting, the Holy Spirit decided to put that in there. Out of a pure heart. Now, there's only one way you're going to get a pure heart. And that's allowing Jesus to purify your heart. Amen? You're not going to get a pure heart because you're just trying harder now. You're going to get a pure heart because you've repented of your sin. You're going to get a pure heart because you said, "Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin and for my life and the things that I've done that have grieved you. And I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to forgive me, Lord, and to cleanse me and to give me a pure heart." Because once you have a pure heart, then God's going to say, "Now I'm going to listen." Why? Because your sin can separate you from your God. There are people, "Why doesn't God listen to me?" Sometimes it's because you have unconfessed sin or unforgiveness in your heart. You're not dealing with something that God told you to do. And you're saying, when He was talking to you, you weren't listening. And now we're coming and say, "God, speak to me. God, speak to me." Well, why didn't you listen when I talked to you before? Well, you start obeying me here in this area, then we'll get to another area. Are you with me? Sometimes it has to go that way, folks, because God's trying to teach us that our own ways are the ways of destruction. Our own ways will never satisfy. Only His way is the way of life. He came that we might have life. Have it abundantly. That's what God's heart is for us. He wants you to have a good life, a healthy life, a strong life. Are you with me? A love-filled life. He wants your family to be in order. He wants to have your home blessed by the Lord. He wants to bring it all together in Him and make something beautiful out of your life. But we've got to obey. We've got to quit rebelling. We've got to start listening. We've got to say, "God, I'm not going to rebel against Your Spirit anymore. I'm not going to follow my emotions. I'm going to listen to Your will. If You tell me to cry out to You and shout, I'll cry out and shout." The second thing we need to have, and this is another way, is we have to have pure lips. We must guard what we say. Have you ever heard the term loose lips sink ships? I remember back in Camp Hovey, I had a platoon sergeant. Sergeant Maxwell. "Loose lips sink ships," that was his saying. And it's so true. Has anybody beside myself gotten in trouble with your mouth before? You see, we can poison, amen, with our mouth. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit with our mouth. So we've got to really be careful. We've got to guard our mouth, what we're saying. Amen? Keep a pure heart and pure lips. You have the authority in Jesus' name to control your mouth. You need to use it. Thirdly, we need to have clean hands. Our works, the things that we do in our body. Psalms 24:3. "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." What are your clean hands? What does clean hands speak of? It speaks of your works. It speaks of the things that you do in your body. Amen. "Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully? He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Why? Because he has clean hands and a pure heart. Fourthly, we need to open our mouths. This is the way to call on the Lord. First one was what? With a pure heart, pure lips, clean hands, and then to open the mouth. Psalms 116:1. "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications." Verse 2, "Because He has inclined, He listened, amen, to me. Therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live." Not just on Sunday morning, but I will call on him as long as I live. How many know the Lord wants to hear from you? He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to have his name on our lips as we speak of him, as we praise him, as we make our boast of our God, as we share Jesus with others, as we acknowledge him in the decisions that we make. And every day may his name be on our lips. Out of a pure heart, clean hands, pure lips, clean lips. We've got to open our mouths. Calling on the Lord, folks, I'm going to say it one more time, is an open, audible crying out to him. By calling on the Lord, what we're doing is we're stirring up ourselves. We're getting the spiritual juices flowing, if you will. You shouldn't need a preacher to coach you. Say amen.
Amen.
You have command of your own soul. Frank's a pastor. He's been, you know, it's frustrating, isn't it, when you feel like you got a coach. And you know, it should never be that way. We should automatically, once we hear, once we understand, once we know what God expects of us, we've got to deny the soul that wants to oppose that, that wants to rebel and say, I don't want to do that. And you need to say, soul, you're going to get into order. And I am going to give praise to my God. You come in sometimes and you know the answer is at the altar. The answer is to call out to God. The answer is to shout the name of Jesus or to shout his praise. And your soul is saying, but I don't feel like it. It's just like the teenager, isn't it? And you're going to say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. And so we do the opposite of what sometimes we feel like doing. And then when God sees that you have an obedient heart, he will bless you. He will free you from yourself and from the prison sometimes that we may find ourselves in. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless your name. As long as I live. How many gonna, as long as you live? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now Isaiah, due to the backslidden condition of his day, he prophesied, and he said in verse 7, there is no one who calls on your name. Who, what? Stirs. That word also means wakes himself. He has to stir or wake himself up to take hold of him. Am I talking to the people that understand this today? How many know there's times you've got to stir yourself? There's times where you've got to say, soul, obey, submit. Listen to the voice of God. It's time to call Jesus. Amen. You don't have to call Ghostbusters. All you need to do is call Jesus. Amen. And he'll bust the ghosts. Hallelujah. See, the church in America needs to get this, folks. Amen. I mean, we're a pretty noisy bunch, and I believe it's authentic noise. It's not always the hype and stuff. Once in a while, maybe, but most of the time, we're sincere, we're authentic, right? But the church in America, for the most part, for a lot of the church, it does not understand this. It does not practice calling out the name of Jesus. Maybe you're just used to being in a Pentecostal circle, but if you get out there and you visit around, there's a lot of churches that should have Ichabod over the door. They're dead. There's no Jesus calling going on there. They're the first church of the frozen chosen, you know. First church of the frigid air. And you need to have the fire of God, the fire of the Spirit. You need to let God stir up that gift of God within you. And you need to do that. You stir yourself up. You wake yourself up by calling out the name of the Lord. That's what it says. There's no one who will stir himself up to take a hold of you. Are you with me? America needs to wake up. America needs to stir itself. The church needs to stir itself. And it needs to weep between the porch and the altar again. Get back to God. Get back to the altar. Get back to crying out to God. And crying down, calling down the fire of God from heaven. Amen. To consume our indifference. To burn in us with holy passion. Get on fire for Jesus. There's healing, deliverance, salvation, restoration, peace, and joy, and all the good fruits that we desire as we call on the name of Jesus. It's all in the name of Jesus, folks. Thousands have been set free through calling on the name of the Lord, including myself. I'm going to share a little bit of our testimony in closing today. None of you knew me before. I knew Jesus before. BC, before Christ. But I've been forgiven much, and I love much. I love the Lord. But our life was a shambles. I'm not going to get into all the details about it, but it was bad. We fought like cats and dogs. I'm not going to get into it, but it was bad. Our home life was bad. Our daughter was just a little tyke at that time, Judy. There was just a lot of trauma in the house. There was substance abuse and everything else going on. I was playing in a band at that time, and I finally came to the end, you know. And God began to show me my life. For the first time, I saw myself from His perspective, and I was like, I can't believe it. What a wretched man I am, that's all I could think. And the whole time I was blaming others and for my problems, people around me, my family, my wife, God showed me myself. And He radically saved me when I called on Him. I just called on Jesus and He radically saved me. He set me free. Words can't explain it, but some of you know what I'm talking about today. And my wife, I came out of my bedroom and I said, where's that Bible I had? It was a Bible I had when I was about 15 or so. Old tattered red thing that was stuffed away full of dust. I hadn't seen it for years. I don't know. So I went searching for a Bible. All of a sudden, it's like I wanted to read the Bible. Imagine that. And then I said, I'm going to church with you Sunday. You are? She just started going to church. And she was inquiring. And our life was so traumatic that she had heart problems and anxiety where she could not sleep for weeks and months. She was on the verge of insanity. I mean, she was ready just to either check out or snap or one of the two or both. I don't know. But it was bad. Well, the first time I got a word of knowledge, God said, I want you to kneel down and pray and call out to me. And together we grabbed hands and we went down the living room floor. And it wasn't no lay me down to sleep prayer, I'll tell you. It was a crying out, a shouting out prayer. God, and she lifted her hands and she started to weep and to cry out to Jesus. It was like, boom, something left her. You know, she was set free. Filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in the heavenly language. You know, and come to find out, God set her free from the heart problem, the anxiety, all that was gone. Because we caught desperate and we called out the name of Jesus. Folks, I'm trying to get you to understand, and most of us do get that, but maybe you don't. I don't know. But we've got to start praising on the Lord and calling out His name. And it's got to be audibly, and it's got to be at times a shout, amen, as to pierce the ear shout. Because some of you need a breakthrough in your life. You really need a breakthrough. I can point at my finger. I'm not going to do that. You know who you are, but some of you need a breakthrough. You need to be set free. You've been living in your shell for so long. God says, I want you out of this shell. Are you hearing me? I was a guy that lived in a shell. When God got a hold of me, I'm out of the shell now. You can't go back in the shell. If you live in the shell, you live in death. God says, come out of the shell. Come out of that. Come out of what was. Come out of the old way. Come out of that. Scrap it. Scrap the soul life. I've got a new life for you in the Spirit. It's an eternal life. It's an abundant life. It's a full life, right? It's a life full of joy and peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and all the good things, the love of God. He says, come out of your shell. I've seen it over and over again. I've said to people, they're just like, they come up for prayer and they're like, I said, start giving God praise. Sometimes they'll just sit there and they won't do it. And they go away because it's like, you can't pray for a stump. You got to be an open book. But when I've seen people, they've taken the risk, they've taken the step that they're going to open their mouth and they're going to shout and they're going to give God praise. I've seen over and over again where God set them free at that moment. About a couple weeks ago, I met with somebody here, the same kind of thing, been struggling with stuff for years. And it wasn't the time when he began to really cry out to Jesus and lift his hands that God set him free. And he's a changed man. Some of you here today, you're probably saying, yeah, this is a word for me. I want to get this monkey off my back. I want to be free. I want to break out of this thing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it easy for you. And I'm going to ask you, if you would talk to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I want to be free from all bondage. I want to be out of the shell, Lord. I want to be out there where you're at. I want this oppression gone. I want this depression gone from my life. Lord, I'm asking you to set me free today. Lord, I don't want to continue to live my life on medication. I want to be free. You said, whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I'm going to receive your word today. I'm going to claim your word for me today. That today is my day of freedom. Today is my day of liberty. Would you just say that today is my day of freedom?
Today is my day of freedom.
Today is my day of liberty. Already, as you just said that, some of you are already feeling that those fetters, those chains. Stuff is starting to break off you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, come. Envelop right now, Lord. Everyone here. Shut us in right now, Holy Spirit. Break every chain, every shackle, every chain. Hallelujah.